picture this. 1 million dead bodies buried in makeshift wooden caskets since 1869. The homeless, poor and stillborn delivered by truck and ferry every week for unceremonious internment by inmates from a local prison. Trenches 10 feet deep and as long as a football field full of rotting corpses. The relatives never allowed to visit their resting place on a windswept island.
Surely that's what happened in the 19th century or in the midst of a war or a famine or a rather poor country, I'd say.
Actually, Neil, this is New York City in 2014. Hart Island, a 100-acre strip of land a short boat ride from the Bronx, is New York's Potter's Field, a term used for an area where the unclaimed dead are buried, either because their relatives can't be reached or identified, they can't afford a funeral, or for some other reason opt for what's known as a city burial. For many years, the mothers of infants buried on Hart Island have been fighting the city, in court and the press, for visitation rights. And last Friday, Elaine Joseph became the first to see her daughter's grave. Andrew Purcell went to meet her.
I just thought of this the other day. This is my baby's footprints and my thumbprint to indicate that this is... She was here. She was really here. She was born. And she died.
And there it is. This and certifies, let me see.
It certifies.
This certifies that Tomika Mack was born to Elaine Lemchuk and William Mack at 4:48 a.m. on Monday, the 16th day of January, 1978. And it's from the Beth Israel Medical Center in New York.
Tomika was born severely premature during a huge snowstorm that shut down New York. She needed emergency heart surgery, and after being transferred from one hospital to another, she died in the operating theatre while her mother lay stranded several miles away in Brooklyn. By the time Elaine could get someone on the phone at the hospital to discuss her daughter's burial, it was too late.
I called back during the week several times, couldn't reach anybody. By the time I did reach someone, they said, "Well, you already signed." I said, "Sign what?" They said that I signed to have the baby buried by the city and that I shouldn't worry about it because she'd be buried with babies and stillborns, and it's okay.
Elaine didn't have much time to search for her daughter or time to grieve. 5 months later, her husband was killed. Soon afterwards, she discovered that she was pregnant again with his child. She never forgot Tomika, but life moved on. It was only in 2009 that she discovered that her daughter was buried on Hart Island, and ever since she's been fighting for the right to visit her grave. Twice the authorities allowed her onto the island, but in common with all the other relatives of the island's dead, she was never permitted to see the burial site itself.
It has been 36 years that I've been waiting to make a visit to the gravesite of my daughter. Since there have been so many mix-ups and mishaps, I didn't know what was going to happen. But my expectation was to see a burial ground where essentially my daughter was buried. And I didn't know what it looked like, even though I had been to the island a couple of other times, because the previous times I was only able to stand at a gazebo, which is on the opposite side of the island. And from that gazebo, you have no idea that there is a cemetery there. All you can see is a few trees.
So was it different this time?
Absolutely. Very different. Completely different. I was able to walk on the island to the site of the mass burials for babies.
There at the site where her daughter was buried, alongside another 1,000 stillborn babies and infants who didn't survive, someone had lain flowers.
I didn't start to cry until I saw that. It was a huge field that had just been recently cleared away, it looked like, and it was an ugly field. And in the midst of this ugly field was a bouquet of flowers. And as I was walking up, I said to my son, I said, "Wow, somebody was here. Somebody put flowers there." And it was that the captain, Captain Thompson, who is the Department of Corrections personnel in charge of Rikers Island, he put the flowers there personally. And when I saw this, that I broke down crying because it showed humanity.
I was astonished to find out about this story.
the idea that a mass grave like that could exist in New York City. Do you think people are aware that this goes on?
Absolutely not. I am a native New Yorker. I've been born and raised in New York City. I didn't know it existed. I had no idea it was there. And whenever I ask people, native New Yorkers, do you know where the city's public cemetery is, or do you know about Hart Island, they all say no.
Elaine wasn't allowed to take flowers herself. She wasn't allowed to bring a reporter along or video her visit. Visitors to the island must turn over their mobile phones and other personal possessions at the dock. This is largely because Hart Island is run by New York's Corrections Department. The graves are dug by inmates at Rikers Island Prison, earning 50 cents an hour. Alan Olson was one of them.
I was in 5 months in Hart Island, and I buried well over 700 bodies. And that's not even, you know, gonna say babies. Because babies would come once a week, 40 or 50. I mean, that was just, you know, it's just a little box.
That last clip is from a film documentary about Hart Island, made by Melinda Hunt. From 1991 to 1994, she interviewed prisoners working there for an art project that has, over the years, become something close to her life's work.
While they were performing the burial, it was like they became the priests. They were like saying prayers, and there was a kind of formality that the inmates were introducing. They created a ceremony for it. Even though the prison guards were just standing there and not doing anything, the inmates, you could see, were very attached to this process.
Hunt founded the Hart Island Project, which campaigns for the fields to be converted into parkland and the burial ground open to the public. Previous Potter's Fields in New York are protected sites, including City Hall Park, Bryant Park, and Madison Square Park, all in Midtown Manhattan.
There was such a hopefulness in going to Hart Island. This is why I want it to be a park. I know there's opposition to it because it seems like it's a very dark place. But when you go there, and it's this wide open, beautiful landscape, and scattered around the island were these little makeshift memorials created by the inmates.
The Hart Island Project has built an online database of over 60,000 burials from 1980 to 2011. Hunt is personally in touch with hundreds of families and has accompanied several over to the island, sometimes in the company of a priest, but never until last Friday to the gravesite itself.
Lord, we thank you for the life of your servants who have been taken from us and who rest in graves in this place. May they know the fullness of peace, and may we who mourn them be at peace. We seek your blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There is a right to visit the grave. The state can't just disappear people into a mass grave. The right to bury one's relatives, inherent to that is a right to return to that grave site. You're not agreeing to a burial within a prison when you agree to a city burial.
The city opted not to contest the Hart Island Project's lawsuit on behalf of the eight women and says they will all be allowed to visit. It has mapped the trenches using GPS technology and opened up its own database of the people buried there dating back to 1977, searchable by first or last name, age, gender or year of death. Tamika Mack is not in it. The records for 1978 were lost or destroyed.
She was not indigent. She was not poor. She was not unwanted. She was not a criminal to be in the criminal justice system. It was a real travesty of justice for this to happen to me and to many, many other people.